Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to make this a blessing to your people and help them to understand this, that we're coming to the end of some things here and the beginning of some other good things. And we thank you so much, Father, for your encouragement and your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is a good one. We're going to talk about the near anointing of the man-child bride ministry. Been receiving a lot of good signs. I'm going to start out with Michael Hare's putting together of a sign we saw in our front yard here. Very interesting. We called it the sign of the peony. And Michael wrote this up today, this morning. He said, I noticed about 3 years ago in our semi-raised garden in the front of the house that an unusual plant was coming up. I asked one of the ladies in the fellowship at the time what it was, and she told me it was a peony flower plant. No one planted it. It came up without any help from us. Then it came up and brushed out a little more the next year with no blooms in the first 2 years. Then this year, the third year, last week, I noticed that it was the only plant that in that raised box. And now there are blooms. One bloom completely opened into a beautiful carnation-like a light pink 6-inch wide flower with blood red edges on the inner petals. And a second bloom, not open completely yet. Just an awesome regal looking flower. Wikipedia says it's often called the flower of riches and honor, and also the king of flowers. While thinking, why did the Lord plant this in our front yard, and what is the symbolism? I thought maybe it is symbolic of the man-child, the full-bloom flower, and the bride, the bloom not fully opened. In any event, I don't think this was a chance planting, just like our first garden, which was planted by the Lord. He's telling the truth. We've shared about it before. And this peony flower that was planted by the Lord. Yeah, very interesting. Well, he said, I asked the Lord for a word concerning the symbolism of this flower showing up in our yard and received by random 2 Kings 18:1 through 3. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Of course, during that reign of Hezekiah, the Sennacherib army of Assyria was conquered. And he went up to the Lord on the third day as a sign of the catching up of the man-child. Very interesting. Okay, now the second revelation here was given to Eve Brast on May the 14th of this year, and we called it David's White Tuxedo. Eve said, I dreamed earlier today that David, representing the man-child David's, and I, representing the bride body, were in his kitchen, the place where spiritual food is prepared from the Word, okay? And David was dressed in a pure white tuxedo, and I was holding his white tuxedo jacket and waiting to help him put it on so that his outfit would be complete. And the note here is, man-child getting prepared for the marriage feast. Amen. An important thing. The coming tribulation, right? And David opened the refrigerator, and I saw that it was packed full of very colorful and ripe fruits and vegetables. It was so full, there wasn't room for anything else. And we believe this represented the first fruits anointing about to be partaken of by the David Manchild Company. And David was going to pull out some of the food, and I said, hold on, you have to put this on first, referring to the tuxedo jacket that I was holding for him. And my thought was, the anointing comes before the fruit is manifested, right? Because along with this anointing, as you know, is the great power of the Holy Spirit to, you know, I believe, finish up the Davids and bring that anointing upon them to rule, just as that anointing came upon Jesus to rule. And of course, it's going to be Jesus ruling in the Davids. That's what he's told us all along. And David said, oh, okay. And then he kind of stooped down a little so I could help him get the jacket on because he was a little taller than in real life. Okay, well, that's true. The man-child anointing will make the Davids taller, no doubt. I said, now that's better. He smiled at me and said, okay. And then he proceeded to get the food out of the refrigerator. Yeah, praise God. So the fruit of Christ in the man-child was given when the tux jacket was put on, representing the latter rain anointing. Yes. You know, even when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, he became as another man, the Bible says. So what could this do for people who are walking with the Lord? Yeah. And she said, then I woke up, and I asked for a word by faith at random for David and received Isaiah 43:2, finger on pass through the waters, in context 2-10. Isaiah 43:2-10, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, the man-child will overcome the persecution of the faction, and he will make it to the marriage feast. Amen. They're trying to stop that. The dragon tried to, you know, devour the man-child and failed. Herod tried to devour the man-child and failed, and so on and so forth. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, and I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Yes, the Lord is going to have a sacrifice of the wicked to save the life of his Davids. Verse 5, fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Yes, there's a great crowd of people coming to hear from the man-child Davids. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Oh, the Lord's going to open some eyes and some ears, right? The apostates coming to the Lord in the man-child. Amen. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Now, you know, people gathered around our Lord Jesus, and they heard truth. They recognized it as truth, and so on. And he's coming again to do this in a body like former times, in a body of the Son of David, just like he did the first time. Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. And Eve said, for myself I received by faith at random. Psalm 4, 1 through 8 in context. Psalm 4, 1 through 8. This is a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast set me at large when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long shall my glory be turned into dishonor? How long will you love vanity and seek after falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him that is godly. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Many there are that say, who will show us any good? The Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than they that have when their grain and their new wine are increased. In peace will I both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Lord, alone makest me to dwell in safety. Amen. And it is so. I asked for a word by faith at random for me, putting the tuxedo jacket on David, and I received Song of Solomon 1 and 12, 12 through 14 in context. While the king sat at his table, my spikenard sent forth its fragrance. My beloved is unto me as a bundle of myrrh that lieth betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now, here's a note from Eve, because this is a progression of past dreams that we've received. There's been a progression of these as God has brought his bride and man-child to maturity. This progression is being seen as almost finished here. Just the putting on of the coat, right? And she said, I remember some past dreams that revealed just how much improvement there has been for the man-child and bride according to what Father is showing us in this current dream above. In the past, I had two dreams of me dressing David in a tuxedo. That's interesting. In these past dreams, David was dressed in tattered clothes, bloody and soiled, and brought to his knees by the faction attacks against him. In other words, they revealed the crucifixion, right? And I had pulled out a black and white tuxedo to dress him in. All right. But in the dream above, he is standing tall, washed, and wearing a pure white tuxedo, and completely dressed for the anointing and marriage feast. I had also had a dream in the past of there only being a small container of cherries in David's refrigerator, but also a larger container in the living room of fruit that was going bad, representing those whose fruit was lost by falling away. But in the dream above, the refrigerator is so packed with ripe fruits and vegetables that there isn't any more room. that's a pretty good progression, I would say. And it led right up to what looked like the anointing, you know. So here's one of her way past dreams. This happened in 7/24/09. And we called it Dressing David in a Tuxedo. Interesting how God can, you know, put the bookends on this revelation here, kind of, you know. There are three dreams shared here in three consecutive days, but the third dream below was on the morning of the third day. Okay, here we are, right, on the morning of the third day. Just as Christ rose on the morning of the third day after his crucifixion. Yes. And we now are on the morning of the third thousand-year day. All right, praise God. So she begins. I would say this, that she is a type here of the bride of the last Adam, because she's called Eve, right? And I saw David, representing the David man-child body of reformers, kneeling in the guest room of my grandmother's, that's the ancient and true church, right, in my grandmother's old house. So that's good that David is in the grandmother's old house, is in the original church, right? Where I had slept as a child, but there were no beds in the room. He was crying and praying. He had been attacked, and his clothes had been soiled and tattered and torn by an enemy. And, well, of course, the Davids have been slandered, maligned, and defamed by the wicked, as has happened throughout all of history. So history just keeps repeating, except it's repeating on a larger scale, right? I went to the closet and pulled out a black and white tuxedo, and then a bowl of water appeared and a white cloth. I dipped the white cloth into the bowl of water and washed David's face. They have defaced David. They've made him into somebody that he is not by their persecution. And his hands and his arms. And I got to say, you know, in a spiritual way, Eve's dreams, and along with all the rest of the brethren's dreams, have helped me to wash up. I appreciate it very much, because they put a better face on me, the real face on me. Not the one the wicked has put. They defaced me, right? Then I dressed him in the tuxedo for the marriage feast. There it is. And that's revealing, of course, the real Davids. The real Davids are being proven by the wicked, who they are, because history has to repeat. And the wicked are attacking, at this time, the real Davids. Also in this dream above, Cindy B's husband, Rob, who factioned away and had died, and this is an updated note, could Rob B represent the Rob who started the faction? Well, yeah. I am also going through a crucifixion with my dad, who has dementia. This was back then, remember, okay, and has persecuted Eddie and me. He used to go by the name Bill when he was younger, but chose to go by his middle name, Earl, when he met my mom. Are these names coincidences? No, I don't think so. And my note back then was, what other reason would there be for them to be in this dream at this time of the faction? And dementia fits too. So remember, my notes are, you know, again, back then. I put those notes in here. The next night, 7/25/09, my mother's birthday, I had a similar dream of David kneeling and crying. Only my old work supervisor, Marilyn, who is a devout Catholic, was present. Well, the mother of harlots has been the persecutors, right? That was written back then. And then Father gave me this wonderful third dream on the third day, 7/26/09, which is my birthday. It reminds me of the resurrection of Jesus. Or I might add, Jesus and the man-child, which is revealed below, as also Eve represents the bride who is finished and chosen at this time. It seemed so real that when I woke up, I thought it had actually happened. It was a wonderful birthday present. Yeah. She said, I dreamed that I had completely died to my flesh and been reborn. This was a dream within a dream. So in the dream, when I awoke, I walked into the kitchen and looked out the sliding glass doors and into the backyard. It had just stopped raining, and I looked at the grass, and it had rained 12 large black panthers. They were all lying dead on the grass on their left sides, but their paws and feet were pure white, representing the righteous walk, right? And my note back then was, when the bride is spiritually resurrected, so will the man-child be. The white feet represent a holy walk, which is probably what put to death the black and the cat part of them, the old man. So the black cat died. The holy walk lives. They were soaked from the rain, probably the latter rain, with anointing oil. Their fur looked as if oil had been rubbed all over them. Their works and their walk had been cleansed by the rain, the washing of the water with the word. They had also died to their flesh and were anointed. And my note back then was, in the darkness to come, they walk unseen to their enemies. And then a note here, Pam said, my earthly dad had a strong prophetic gifting. Father just reminded me recently of his 1960s mantra, the Black Panthers are going to take over. He would watch every news clip on the Black Panthers. I'm sure that his interpretation was not complete back then, but it stuck with Pam, right? I was just a little girl at the time, but I remember his saying, the Black Panthers are going to take over. That was the revelation he got right there. It was just so bizarre and out of character for him to say such a thing. But now I realize the Spirit was moving on my dad to speak prophetically for a future time, our time. In sealing this message, my finger landed on Psalm 101 and 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall minister unto me. That's the white paws, right? Father, thank you for the new Black Panthers, this band of brothers who shall minister unto you, who walk in a perfect way. Thank you that the Black Panthers are going to take over. Maybe he had the different idea. Of course, we knew who the Black Panthers were back then, of who was going to take over, right? And then back to Eve's revelation here. Suddenly, the southeastern corner of Zion, the new city of our God, landed in my backyard like a spaceship on the top of the Panthers. You know, the new Jerusalem is being born from above, the Bible teaches, and it is the bride being born from above, God's word coming down to earth, bringing forth this bride. If you're not receiving God's word from heaven, you're not bringing forth this bride. Okay, I'll read that again. Suddenly, the southeastern corner of Zion, the new city of our God, landed in my backyard like a spaceship on top of the Panthers. And she has noted here, these 12 panthers are 12 elders who will form the foundation that Zion will be built upon. Upon their dead bodies, meaning on their crucified lives, they will be anointed from heaven. Our portion of the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, the bride, is being born from above through the 12 man-child or man-children from UBM going forth. And we had a note here about many parallel revelations proving this. Yep, we could write an awesome book on this, but it would be too thick. The city was so large, tall, and glorious that I could only see my little corner portion of it. There was a white cloud or a mist coming from underneath it as it landed. Its foundational steps were like a rainbow. Each step was made of a solid jewel, each different color. Well, I believe that's representing the attributes of the light, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, right? That note was put there back then. The corner that I could see was a pure white stone. It was solid, with no joints or seams. And the light from it was so bright, I had to squint to look at it. Yes, and my note back then was, it was one as the man-child body of Jesus are one. Matthew 21 and 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected? Same today, isn't it? The same was made the head of the corner. They won't like that, will they? This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yes, it is. And 1 Peter 2 and 6, because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. But, I might add, today his enemies will be put to shame. Suddenly a loud voice above and behind me said, you have been promoted to president. That is, presiding over the United States after the order of the tribe of Zebulun. Well, my note was, can a David, man-child, head member of the bride body, as David was, right? He was the head of the bride, right? Be president of the United States? Only in regard to his exercising authority for God. You know, when you speak for God, everything happens. only in regard to his exercising authority for God. Even Jesus, who had all authority to speak for the Father, said in John 5 and 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And I wrote back then, we received his word a few days ago, 6 and 38. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So the Lord is the real president, but he has a body of people that he speaks through, whom he is calling president here. Here are a few texts, this is still my note back then, that we have received in our morning meeting, and they are types of man-children who were given this authority to speak for God. Daniel 2 and 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should bring or offer an oblation and a sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets. seeing thou hast been able to reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel great, and gave him many great gifts, and made him to rule over the whole province of Babylon. There it is. So when you get that by faith at random, what do you think? That's pretty powerful, huh? And to be chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. And Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow and to build and to plant. And Genesis 41:39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And also Mordecai, the man-child, was promoted over the kingdom of Ahasuerus in Esther to save the people of God. Again, continuing with this note, to Zion, the bride whose leadership is the man-child, God said, Isaiah 60:10. 10-14. And foreigners shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy upon thee. Thy gates also shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations, and their kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom which will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. And then down in 14, and the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Then I was instantly awake, Eve said. And when I heard the dream that a lady had about you receiving new elders, I think 11, with yourself, the father brought this dream to my mind, and I knew it was true. And that, I think that was called 12 man children from UBM going forth. And then she got this verse, Isaiah 44:28, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Well, it was interesting. We didn't know about Cyrus Trump back then, who is a kind of a man-child in the government side, you know. But also, what God said of Cyrus made him sound like the man-child, right? It goes on to say, on these elders, including David, will the foundation be laid. These are being promoted to preside over the United States after the order of the tribe of Zebulun. Okay. And Judah is the, this is my note back then, Judah is the ruling man-child order, but this Zebulun order parable is because of certain scriptures that speak of righteousness and the rule of Zebulun. So he said, when I put several scriptures together that mention Zebulun, it paints a wonderful revelation for us. Genesis 30:20. And Leah said, God hath endowed me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, that is Israel, because I have borne him 6 sons, and she shall call his name Zebulun. Yeah, Deuteronomy 33:18. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the peoples to the mountain. And my note was, they call the peoples to the mountain of God's presence and kingdom, Zion. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasure of the sand. And that's the children of Abraham through faith, right? In Judges 5:14, part of Deborah's song after the defeat of Jabin. And out of Zebulun, they that handle the marshal's staff. Zebulun was a people that jeoparded their lives unto death. And, of course, this whole chapter is full of revelation. The people that died, they brought forth the fruit, right? They had the marshal's staff. Psalm 68:27. There's little Benjamin, their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. And this whole chapter also has much revelation. Isaiah 9:1. But there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun. You know, as the factious have done to the man-child, right? And the land of Naphtali, but in latter times he hath made it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, or the nations. Verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That spoke, of course, of Jesus' coming to a body of people, as he is today. Also, he's coming today in a way that they don't suspect, just like back then. Right? History repeats. He came, Jesus came, and these people, these apostates, persecuted him and hated him and were jealous of him. Yeah. And put to death his flesh. And today, of course, it's being repeated on a larger scale. Verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased their joy. They have joyed before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Yep, you know what the harvest is, right? It's taken from the earth and taken up. And, you know, the people who are not born again, who are going to be harvested and being born again, these people have been plundered from the devil's kingdom. That's why it says here, divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken in the day of Midian. Yeah, truly the oppressors shall cease because they go into captivity. Yes. And then she mentions Matthew 4:12. Now when he heard that John was delivered up, he withdrew into Galilee. There it is, Galilee of the nations, or Gentiles. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali sort towards the sea beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. From that time began Jesus, verse 17, from that time began Jesus, the man-child, to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And after this, Jesus started to call the 12 disciples to follow him, as will the man-child in our day, I put as a note there. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with this revelation of the building up of these bodies. And, this is basically what this whole group of verses or texts is about. This one is bad fruit removed from the government and church. And Eve got this on February the 4th, 2019. The scene changed, and I found myself, representing Eve, the bride of the last Adam, standing in David's kitchen on Sunshine Mountain, representing the larger house of David on Mount Zion. Michael and Brandy were in the study that is off of the kitchen working on the UBM materials. And David appeared in front of me next to the refrigerator. He said, "Look, Eve, I want to show you something." Again, that's the David's speaking to the bride, right? He was smiling as he opened the door and bent down to look inside with me. The light that was shown out of the refrigerator was so bright that it took my eyes a second to adjust to it. Well, refrigerators preserve food so that it lasts until it can be eaten, right? You know, some people have borne fruit and then basically thrown it away, especially by falling into this faction. It rotted. David pointed to a small, clear container of beautiful, ripe cherries and said, "Do you see these?" I said, "Yes, they are cherries. They look really good." He was proud of them as he nodded his head and said, "Yes, they are." The clear container represents purity and transparency, nothing hidden. We've had revelations of cherry blossoms in the fall. Yes, really. And we thought about that fall since then is the fall of the wicked. That the man-child is going to bear his best fruit in the fall of the wicked. A spring, a resurrection life at the time of the fall of the wicked. So here's my note that I wrote back then. This past year, we had cherry blossoms here in the fall. Cherry trees normally show blooms in spring. After the blooms are gone, the fruit comes in a couple of months. This varies depending upon variety and location. So, David and Eve are looking at the first fruits now in the refrigerator, ready for use. Yeah. And, of course, God has used the first fruits all along the way. And then Eve said, David's countenance changed as he closed the refrigerator door, and he had a look of concern and consternation on his face as he said, "Come, I want to show you something else." So I followed him into the living room, and we stood at the right side of the wood-burning stove facing the end table next to the red Bible study chair, the famous red Bible study chair. The stove represents burning up the wood, hay, and the stubble in fiery trials, as well as does the end table. So, why next to the Bible study chair? Well, here's my note from back then. The Bible study chair represents where the teaching of the Word went forth for so many years. From this was much fruit born, but not all of it was preserved in the individual's refrigerator. As in the parable of the sower, some lost their fruit to the corruption of love of the world and sin, which Eve's dream goes on to explain. This is true. It's really sad because, you know, when you get a lot of word in you and you're, you know, beginning to walk in it, Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, right? You have to walk in that fruit and continue to preserve it. So Eve said, he directed my attention, pointing a larger opaque container of many different fruits. They weren't all the same kind of fruit like the cherries were. Some had been cut up in pieces and others had been cut in half, while others had been left whole only to rot in the container. I said, it looks like rotten fruit that someone left sitting there. And she said, I believe that different kinds of fruit that didn't go together and accelerated the deterioration process represents the works of man. And my note was the falling away of some who once had fruit. This is true. And Eve went on to say, and the cutting up of their fruits represents factions, strifes, and divisions. The whole fruits represent the island unto themselves mentality. Yeah. Galatians 5:19-26. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, which is also witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this would, you know, put fear in the heart of a normal person, but a demon-possessed person who's been delivered over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, it doesn't faze them. Fearful words there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. He said David was upset at the wasted fruit and the fact that someone had failed to put it in the refrigerator, that the fruit might be preserved. And David said, I was discussing this situation earlier with Brandy and Michael. Then he said, referring to the father, he said, we need to get it out of the house as soon as possible. Yep, because rotten fruit only produces more rotten fruit, so it must be removed by God. Thank God that he took care of that himself. Then she said, David spoke up to Brandy and Michael in the study and said, isn't that right, Brandy? And Brandy said, yes, we need to get rid of it as soon as possible or it's going to spoil everything. Yep, that's true. Michael voiced his agreement also. Father, this is my note back then, Father, we ask that you either bring repentance to those who lost their fruit or remove them so that a little leaven does not leaven the whole lump. And you've got Jeremiah 24:1-10. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. And after that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Verse 2, one basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. Yep, that's like the cherries that were preserved. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs. The good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad. They cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place and into the land of the Chaldeans, for good. Yes, some people went into captivity for good, because they cried out to the Lord in repentance, and they returned and learned their lesson. Right? Verse 6, For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again into this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You know, one of the things that God does to chasten people is to turn them over to Satan. And he takes them in places they don't want to go. He takes them in places, he takes over their will, he takes over their flesh, and they go through hell, and they do evil. They do much evil. And why does God treat the wicked who treat the righteous badly in this way? So that they can realize that they are evil. They did not realize, did not recognize their evil, so that they can recognize their evil and repent of it. So the elect, of course, among the apostates will repent. Verse 8, And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes. Of course, that was the apostate leadership of unregenerate Jerusalem. There is talk about the good Jerusalem and the bad Jerusalem in the scriptures. The old one had to be crucified. The new one is ready for the king. Amen. And the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, I will even give them to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but this plague that's on the land today has overwhelmingly taken out the faction so far, and it's not through. It's overwhelmingly in the leftist blue states, etc., etc. Again, Eve said, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on. Him only will you serve. In Matthew 4 and 10. The context is 8 through 11. And again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, just a note, it takes far less to bribe the so-called Christians in our day. Jesus had everything offered to him, and he wouldn't be bribed. But just for the glory of the flesh, people get upset. Because they lust after things that are not theirs, they get upset and give it up. Give it up. Verse 10, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In my note back then, those who have heard the word but fall away to serve the flesh and the devil, as Jesus was tested to do, will be removed from the body without repentance. Amen. It's true. So Eve said, I asked Father to speak to me concerning all these things, and he said, There is not much time left, Eve. I am cleaning up my body and cleaning out my church on a mass scale. And my note then was this we have seen very strong since 2011. And those fell away to serve their flesh and the devil. And going on with Eve's word here from the Lord, 2019 is the year of my righteousness. I will have a spotless and blemishless bride. The bad fruits will be tolerated no longer. They will be cast forth out of my house. There you go. Please take heed to this word from the Lord. Yes, we have been told concerning some of them, especially those in leadership, and the Lord has told us not to pray for them. Yeah, and of course we're still tempted to forget that and go back to doing it. But the Lord has reprobated some of them. They will never come back to God. And then continuing with the word that the Lord spoke to Eve, be careful. Make sure that you are found to be a good steward of the life and the gifts I have given you. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. I require nothing less. Repair the garments that I have bestowed upon you. Wash them that they may be clean and perfected at my coming. Will you be found in faithfulness and readiness? And that was the end of that word of the Lord. And Eve said, May Father strengthen us and bless us to be obedient and perfected for the coming of our Lord to his house. Amen. And my note back then was, This is coming at the latter rain, Hosea 6:1-3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Amen. So the Lord is coming. A lot of people question this, how the Lord is coming. Well, it's very clear. He's coming on the morning of the third day, the third thousand-year day, and the morning of the third day of the resurrection of the man-child. And he says, let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. So the Lord is coming as the latter rain. That's what it says. He is coming. He's not coming like they're expecting in the clouds to receive all of Christianity or all of what is not Christianity up into the sky. That's not how he's coming. He tells us very plainly on the morning of the third day he's coming as the latter rain. And who gets the latter rain first? Remember this. Who got the former rain first? It was Jesus, the man-child. And everything is according to type in the scripture. God, all those parables mean something. Jesus was the first one to have the former rain. And then after 3.5 years of his ministry, he imparted that former rain to his disciples, his faithful disciples, except for the Judas that fell away, right? So now what's going to happen? The exact same thing. The first ones to receive the latter rain, which is who? The Lord coming, manifesting himself by the Holy Spirit in his people. The first fruits to receive that is the man child of our day. And this latter rain, it's not the former rain. The former rain is being given out as we speak, constantly, constantly. And the only thing that's going to supersede it is the latter rain, which comes after the man child has prepared a people. It will come upon them, this mighty latter rain. Until then, they will have the former rain. You remember when going into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17, it's the first and second 3.5 years. First 3.5 years and second 3.5 years. You remember they went into the wilderness. They were baptized in water and in the cloud. The sea they were baptized and in the cloud. There are many of God's people who haven't even been baptized in obedience to his word. And they haven't been obedient to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism in the cloud. So going into the tribulation period, you know what the people are going to get? They're going to get the baptism of the former rain. Who's going to get the baptism of the latter rain? The man child. Just exactly like history has proven. So let's go to this revelation. We called it the large house with many coming to hear the gospel. This is, again, this progression that we're coming up to here, you know. And this was given to Sue Gilbert on 4/22/20. I dreamed I was in a large house with large front windows and heavy, large concealing curtains. As I was opening the curtains, I saw outside from the front of the house a field with a crowd of people sitting in chairs, waiting and looking towards the house. So here's this crowd of people in the field, which you know is the world, right? And they're looking towards the house. They're looking towards the house. There was a street between the field and the yard of the house, and it was in a country setting. And it reminded me of the way it was at my house with windows facing the street, and field across the street out in the country, but I knew this wasn't my house. I wasn't alone inside. There were others that I knew. I believe UBM ones, and as I was opening the curtains and then saw the people outside. So they were with her in the house, UBM people, and looking at the people outside. And I asked someone, why are they here? Then there was a young man with light brown hair and glasses and clothes were, I think, something like a suit, like what a businessman would wear. He was at the door and then suddenly was inside. And I asked him, why are you all here? And he said, we are here for you all to teach us. Okay. So this is people from the outside. They're not a part of the large house, but they're there to be taught. Who is part of the large house? Well, the bride and the man child are part of the large house. Remember, Esther was brought into the house of the king. And she and Mordecai became the leadership in the large house to the people. Then I asked him if he was filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Well, he made a face and walked back outside. It was as if he didn't like what I said, like he didn't like that idea. Well, let me say that most of Christianity has heard lies about tongues and receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they'll have to overcome that before going into the wilderness, right? Because God's going to pour out His Spirit. Because this wilderness is the last 8 years before a destruction comes upon this whole world, or the last 7 years before a destruction comes upon this whole world during the eighth year. Okay? So the time is short, just like God told Eve. The time is short. And most of Christianity is still stuck out there with a bunch of lies that they haven't bothered to read their Bible and believe were false. And this is a large portion. And now we're seeing that they've come to be taught by the man, child, and bride. So, as he opened the door to go outside, there were two other people, men, I think, talking about tongues. And as he heard more, he started to accept it. So, I mean, you know, obviously, I believe they're going to become disillusioned with their leadership, which has led them astray. And I believe that these times that we're in right now is going to disillusion them. Not only that, the Holy Spirit's going to disillusion them with a kingdom that is not Christianity. Nothing has changed from the beginning. It was an eternal covenant, and nothing has changed from the time of Jesus. And so, remember, at the beginning of the wilderness, the people will be filled with the Spirit. Then Sue said, I woke up. And this dream reminds me of the people in the fields with Jesus. Yeah, like when Jesus went out into the wilderness or desert, same word. And the peoples followed him out there, and he taught them, and so on and so forth. The man-child taught them in the fields, right? And of Pentecost, when the crowds of people came to hear the gospel from different denominations. Yes, they did. And she said, this to me means revival. Well, amen. Who's going to start the revival? Well, the man-child and bride, just like happened back in Jesus' day. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And Jesus sent out the bride into all the places that he was going to come. And they raised up the church. And signs and wonders and great revival started then. So she said, I asked for a word from the Lord and got randomly 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as to spiritual men. Wow, that's pretty good. Right dead on the money, huh? But as to men of flesh and as to infants in Christ. And she said, my finger was on brethren could. Yeah. The whole chapter seems to fit in relation to teaching the people. And in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Amen. Amen. I pray the Lord that this is from you and that your revival will come very soon, she said. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I amen that myself. And then on May the 12th of this year, Eve wrote this. She said, I think that this dream goes with Sue's dream, Sue Gilbert's dream, about the apostates rejecting tongues and why I sent it. Yeah. And this dream is a dream of the larger house that's almost finished and that a faction returns to be, you know, like these people in the field. The faction returns, comes to be taught again. Because, believe it or not, they've lost it all. It's gone. All the understanding that they had was taken from them. They were taken over by Satan. So this was given to Eve Brast on 5, 7, and 20. She said, I dreamed that I was with David and other UBM brethren, and we were having a meeting. We were in a small house in a large field. This house represents the first fruits house of the bride and man-child. Yes, amen. A Hispanic woman walked in and began lamenting to me about how much she missed us and how she felt so alone. Well, this Hispanic woman represents the foreigner spoken of in the Bible. Okay, this parable was given to us for this time and about the faction out there. You know, this parable is a revelation to this. She said, I had thought it would be best for me to move away from UBM. Of course, those people did. And I thought it would be best to move for my son's sake. But it has been an awful experience. It's just not working out. Well, this is true for the people who went away in faction. It's just not working out. We can see the corruption in their lives. We can see the corruption in their children's lives. It's just not working out for them. It's the curse. It's the judgment that God spoke against the faction. Because, let me say this, if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. It's just very simple. And if you're not forgiven, you're not entitled to grace. You're not entitled to the kingdom of heaven. As we've seen, the bad figs were not a part of the kingdom of heaven. Can they return? Well, yes, the elect among them can. This woman was Hispanic because she represents those who have become estranged because of self-willed ambitions that led them to make bad decisions for themselves and their fruit. The Lord is going to open the eyes of many elect among the faction, and they will be granted the grace to repent, and then they will desire our fellowship again. Yes, we received a revelation, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something like that, that 2/3 of the people who factioned out will not return. They died. And 1/3 will repent and return. Then I had an open vision of this tiny island that the woman had moved her son to, thinking that he would get a better education there. Her son here could represent the word of the man-child in the foreigners that have come. And they're called foreigners because, of course, they went away. They didn't continue to act as Israelites, etc. So this fruit, you have to raise up that fruit carefully. It's the fruit of Jesus in you. That's her son, right? So she moved to this tiny island, and that's kind of what they did. They're on their own, basically. She said the island was full of alligators that had children in bondage on leashes. Yeah, all their spiritual man was held in bondage. They would try to drag the children out into the ocean and roll them until they drown. And again, that's speaking about their fruit, their spiritual fruit of Christ in them being destroyed. I watched one drag a toddler into the ocean water and begin rolling the child in the water, trying to drown it. The child was fighting for their life, trying to come up for air. Some of the children were bigger and more mature, and the alligators had to be more stealthy to get them out into the water. Well, in the natural, I've seen that when parents fall away in the faction, their kids go to pot. Sometimes, literally, they go to the world. Their countenance changes. Their way of life changes. They get corrupt. That's in the natural. Well, in the spiritual, their inner fruit of Christ in them is dying at the hands of the alligators, basically. The dragon, the beasts. The children would be weaker and less able to fight the alligator once they got them into the water. This island represents the isolation that faction causes. The beast is there to put the children in bondage and eventually kill them spiritually. The enemy lies to these people and tells them that they can get a better education, alternative to the pure word of God. Yep, that's the lie. I told her that she should move back as soon as possible, and I asked her to walk with me, and we went down the road. And as we talked, we came upon a slum area with a small shack on our left, and the door was open. We looked inside, and the Hispanic woman told me that her family members lived in that shack. Well, rather than the small holy house that the brides moved from to go to the big house of the king, they're living in this shack, and it represents their sinful life. There was no running water. In other words, no word of God that's affecting them at all or moving them or living in them. And there were dirty clothes, meaning unrighteous works, everywhere, and it had a dirt floor. She told me that they had a disabled female child that was wheelchair-bound. Their spiritual man was wheelchair-bound, crippled, unable to live the life. And these are the other brethren that had fallen into faction. Their fruit has become handicapped. This woman represents the elect among them who will return. In the larger apostate church, there will also be those who come out from among them. Amen. So these are texts that we received by faith at random this morning, 5:17-20, about the faction's failure to destroy the man, child, and the bride, and their judgment. Okay. And this was just a few of them. We received quite a few this morning. It was like the Lord is saying, now's the time. Psalm 21:11, 8 through 13 in context. Thy hand will find out all thine enemies. Yes, we'll find out through tribulation who it is that will hold to their flesh, seek to save their old life, and in effect lose their life. Thy hand will find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand will find out those that hate thee. Thou wilt make them as a fiery furnace in the time of thine anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit wilt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They conceived a device which they were not able to perform. And that's the truth. For thou wilt make them turn their back. Thou wilt make ready with thy bowstrings against their face. In other words, they're going to see the arrow looking right straight at them. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thy strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. And another one, received by faith at random. Again, this of Psalm 70, 1 through 5. It's a psalm of David to bring remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. David speaking. Let them be put to shame and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and brought to dishonor that delight in my hurt. Let them be turned back by reason of their shame that say, aha, aha. They're constantly looking for something, to try and approve something, while they live in their most evil, corrupt lives. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. And Psalm 71, 1 through 5. In thee, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness and rescue me. Bow down thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 89, 20 through 24. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his adversaries before him. I will smite them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. And she said, when we got back to UBM house, I was telling David about the poor family of the Hispanic woman and their handicapped child. And Brandy spoke up as he stood and said, yeah, the big house is almost finished. The big house. You know the big house? The big house that Esther and the man-child went to, right? Big house is the house of the king. David and I have been working on it. It just needs the finishing touches put on it. I said, really? Where is it? And David said, yep, it's right back here, pointing towards the back of the small house that we were currently in. Again, well, the progression is leading us towards this big house and the beginning of these great things. David and Brandy had been working on this bigger house with this family in mind. Yeah, right. What are we doing this for? What are we gathering these materials for? Is the people of God in the tribulation need to know how to find Jesus and how to walk in the gospel? They need to know more than what they've been taught. David and Brandy had been working on this bigger house with this family in mind. Amen. It's true. The Lord has been working through us for years to build this bigger house. He has been preparing the first fruits to minister to the woman church in the wilderness tribulation. She has been handicapped and crippled by the false doctrines and lies of the apostate church, which we just saw. One of them was that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, they believe they got it all when they got saved, which is not scriptural. She has been handicapped and crippled by these false doctrines and lies from the apostate church and lies of factious spirits. Yes. The larger house was behind the smaller house because it comes afterwards. That's true. This is my note, you know. This is the king's house. Esther, the bride, was chosen by the king, and she moved from the smaller house of the women to the king's house and was crowned. Amen. And Eve said, Brandy and David told all the brethren that it was time to go and finish up the bigger house. So everyone followed them out the back door and across the field to the bigger house to finish it. I followed them all out of the small house. We are close to the revival and the 7-year tribulation. Yes, we are. Yep. And as I looked out, I saw the field between the two houses. It was golden and ready for harvest. As I walked through it, when I got up to the bigger house, I saw that it had been built into a small hill so that the entrance was on the third floor. So, the golden field, the golden harvest field, is just like Sue's dream, you know, about the people out there just waiting to be harvested, right? And the hill here that the third floor of the big house is Zion. And it's fortified by the hill of a mountain that represents the kingdom of Christ. The field represents the end time harvest. Amen. As I went inside, I entered the kitchen first. I saw Sue Gilbert. They're connected there. Their dreams are connected, right? Putting some finishing touches on the kitchen area. And Brandy was giving me a tour, and we passed a large dining room to the right of the kitchen with a very long polished wooden table for serving many people. Amen. Going to serve a lot of people. There was a stone fireplace at the end with a coat of arms hanging above it. It had two swords crossed, pointed downward behind a shield. Our coat of arms is the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Amen. And the dining room with the fireplace represents the marriage feast during the tribulation period that burns up the flesh in the fiery trials. Yes, true. Many had their opportunity to have their flesh burnt up in the fiery trials before the tribulation and to be a part of the bride and the man-child. And they blew it. They had opportunity. They were given truth to enable them to bear fruit, but they gave up the fruit and walked after the flesh. She went on to say the kitchen was the only thing on the third floor. That's how you entered the building, remember? This is where all entered the large house, through the kitchen, representing the place where spiritual food is prepared for those needing spiritual nourishment. Amen. That's how we all enter into the larger house, is through the kitchen, through the teachings, and being obedient to the teachings of the Lord. And she has a note here. Our manna comes from heaven, the highest place in the house. Yes, that's true. And then he said the dining room was actually on the second floor as we passed it on a railed balcony. I saw it all from above, over the railing. We went down some stairs to the second floor, past the dining area, and entered a long hallway with many rooms that David and Brandy had designed for the Hispanic woman's family that had the handicapped girl in a wheelchair. Brandy showed me a special bathroom off of the master bedroom with a special shower that was wheelchair accessible, and down the hall, a special room for the girl that was also built especially for the wheelchair accessibility. And that, of course, is the fruit, the spiritual man that needs to be raised up in the apostate church, including, of course, the faction. And she said, the handicap shower represents the washing by the water of the real good news that gives people the faith to believe that they can be clean and perfected through what Christ has already done for them at the cross. Amen. The true word allows people to get clean despite their handicaps. Yes, it's so true. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for your people. Thank you, Father, that they're going to get the revelation. It actually says in Psalm 89, we read a portion of that text about the man-child body there, that God is going to give dreams and revelations to the people to know who the man-child is, to lead them to the man-child. Well, he's doing that. The true word allows people to get clean despite their handicaps. Exactly right. There's no handicap to the Lord. He sees the end from the beginning. To anyone who repents of their old life and desires to walk in the fruit of the new life, Jesus Christ, they will have it. Those who look back, like Lot's wife, they will lose it. And many have looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Why is it a pillar of salt? I think because there's an object lesson right there. People can look at that and say, oh my God, why did they do that? Why did they turn away? Why did they not repent? Confess their sins and be delivered. Why did they fall into this corruption? Why were they turned over to Satan? Why? Well, there's the salt. You know, this is something that will give them a lesson that they won't forget when they look upon this. I said, wow, this family is going to be so excited when they see their new home. That's the new larger house that the people of God are going to be able to enter through the teachings, right? Remember when Jesus went out with his disciples to share with the people the teachings, the revelations, and they came to be taught. Like Sue's revelation, you know, they sat in front of the house, looking at the house, expecting to be taught. She said, I knew that we of UBM would be sharing our big house with this family. And she said, many will be so excited to learn the simple truth of the gospel that will lead them to faith and salvation. It's true. It's true. They don't know the simple gospel. Thank you, Father, that you will give the revelation to those who repent and draw near to you. Thank you, Father. I saw some more stairs that led down to the first floor or basement area. I wasn't sure which it was, but I saw a bright white light coming up the stairwell and knew that there was a recreation area down there for everyone. And this is also an improvement for our house. In a past dream, I dreamt of a basement in the UBM building that was full of long, razor-sharp blades hanging from the ceiling that the factious had hung, and I had to skirt the edge of the basement walls to keep from getting cut. Yeah, decapitated. So, the larger house and the provision for the bride. This was given to Eve 5, 7, and 19. I dreamed that the sun was going down and it was getting late. I was walking to my vehicle that was parked near the edge of a large parking lot. And my note back then was a place for many vehicles at rest. The natural man is a vehicle for the spiritual man. Right. There was a small tree near my car and a lot of short dead grass in the front lawn of the large white building. And my note then was a UBM people dead to self and pure. The large white building had modern looking pillars along the front of it and lots of glass windows. In other words, representing good discernment. This building belonged to UBM. And moving to, this is my note from then in 2019, moving to the large room, the large place, a place of more freedom, greater authority and works, enlarging our steps and footprints, as in Eve's earlier dream about this. The larger house is the king's house that Esther moved to when she was chosen to be queen, right? Amen. So after this, I walked over to the large UBM building and went up some stairs to the second floor. All of the local UBM people were living there, and there was a large communal kitchen. Well, our large house represents our household of people who will grow and are one in Jesus and feed at our spiritual kitchen. And she said, Don and two other men told me to follow them down some stairs into a large basement room that had stairs going back up on the right-hand side of the basement. So my note back then was, of those who have gone down in the earth on the left as goats, some will resurrect on the right as true sheep. Yes, it's a crucifixion down there, right? Don said, it's not safe down here under the earth or the flesh, right? The above ground levels of the building were over the dead grass or the flesh, right? And the people living in the basement level as goats are under the grass or flesh. And that's where they are now. So Eve went on to say, you need to walk around the edge of the room and go sit on the other stairs until we take care of things. And my note was, as in my dream, I went around the old man ministering to the babies and the old man was killing them. Eve said, I realized that there were large metal blades hanging from the ceiling like rows and rows of vertical blinds, and that they could cut a person up if someone were to brush by them in a certain way. Yeah. The factious people, she said, live down in the basement of the house because they are earthly. Yeah, my note was, and they do things hidden and in darkness. She said, but Jesus, represented by Don, which means world ruler, will push them all into a corner and contain them to keep his true saints from being dismembered from the body. Amen. And the verse you got, Psalm 52:2, thy tongue deviseth very wickedness like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Yep. They use their tongue to divide people away from the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to divide them away from righteousness and purity and truth, to bring disrepute to the teachers so that the education of the kitchen won't be received by people, and so on. The devil hates it. He's sent his people to come against it. He said, as I sat on the other steps, I watched the three men pushing the metal blades far back into a corner of the basement. And when they were done, they all came up to me and handed me a large brown leather purse string bag full of silver coins and some gold coins as well. A symbol that's the same as of what we've just spoken about. The dark ones coming and giving to the bride, meaning some of the faction will return. You remember Job, how that they all came to him at the end of his tribulation? And they all bought a piece of money, right? Don said, we were told that this belongs to you. In other words, to the bride. It seemed that they had found this treasure during the time that they were pushing all those sharp blades into the corner of the basement. Yep. And my note then was, the corner is a place of shame and punishment for having divided the Lord's body by faction. Through this, the elect of the factious will repent and return to the bride. They will return to be under the bride, to be taught by the bride, as we've seen earlier. Then we all walked up the stairs on the right side of the basement and went into the kitchen area. After this, I walked up to another story where my room was. This area was a lot like my apartment in real life, and my room was the same. And my note then was, meaning that all this will happen while she is still in that apartment. Could be. She said, Tim and Debbie and Tasha were all sleeping in the other bedroom across from mine, and then I woke up. And I asked Father for a few words for this dream and received by faith at random. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Yep, meaning sanctified ones. The saints, meaning the sanctified ones. Those separated from sin will receive dominion over the earth and the wicked and the demons. Say, so it shall be given to the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Yep. Babylon fails, including the harlot of the church and the harlot of the country of Babylon, United States. They will fail. And then she got Psalm 9:7. But the Lord sitteth as king forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. And that's, she wrote, confirmation that judgment from God is coming against the faction and other apostates in government and in church. Yes. So you see, here's the progression that we spoke of from the beginning. It's going to bring the bride and the man-child to the anointing and the ministry. And we're seeing around us the signs of this. And we're seeing the judgment of the leftists and the faction. And that judgment, of course, as we saw, was a time when the man-child anointing came. So, and when, and of course, what we're going to see is a great revival coming from all of this. God's people are going to get their eyes opened about what is not the church and what is the church. And we thank God that He's doing this wonderful thing, this great thing, to save His people from death at the hands of Haman, the destroyer. Amen. He was going to destroy the people of God. Like the head of the beast, He was out to destroy the people of God. And of course, He was the accuser, accusing them of not keeping the king's commandment, which is true. But we have our righteous King who died for us, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, and who made opportunity for us to behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and be transformed into that same image from glory to glory. The Lord has made opportunity for us to come into His kingdom, His greater house, greater than what we've seen in the past in the smaller house. We're coming to the great house, the house of the King, where dominion was given to both Esther and Mordecai, which means little man or man-child, right? So this dominion anointing is about to be given to the man-child bride ministry, and how great it's going to be, how the wonderful revival that's going to come. It's going to overshadow for the people of God the troubles, you know, that have come, and all the persecution that has come against them. And just remember, all the way back through history, God raised up a portion of what was called the people of God to persecute all of the righteous men that were sent by God and the righteous women who were sent by God. Types, some of those types of the man-child and of the bride, this faction was raised up against them. A faction was raised up against Jesus by the false leaders. And even Judas, you know, who was really a spiritual son of Jesus, in that he sat and received the seed of His word along with the rest of the disciples. He was much like Absalom, who was a son of David, but turned Judas against David. And, of course, this was all for the making of David. David learned a lot of warfare. He got opportunities to resist his flesh. He won the victory. Absalom hung himself like Judas did. And, you know, nobody has done anything against the faction. Everything we've done is for the faction. And if they're hung, they've hung themselves. And we just pray for the elect among them to come out from among them and be separate and be blessed, because a great blessing is about to wash over the earth. Amen. The word of God is going to be released. The word of God that they tried to destroy is going to be released and do a great work on God's people in bringing them out of bondage and back to being underneath the big house, right? Amen. We know that Esther and Mordecai took over the authority in the big house. And the people, to a great extent, didn't even know what was happening. And when they were told the decree that they were slated to be killed at the hands of the beast, they panicked. They cried out to God, but they did not know what was happening in the big house to preserve and to save them. And so, you know, the people of God at large are going to get revelation of many things that were hidden from them and what was given to preserve them and to deliver them in the type of Purim and in the type of the Passover, right? We know that the man-child is going to be spiritually caught up to the throne on the day of their resurrection from a crucifixion put upon them by the faction. So Jesus was caught up to the throne. And there's a picture there. There's a revelation, a parable there for the end times and what God will do for his people. Well, Lord, we love you so much. We appreciate so much all that you have done for us and for your people. And Lord, we're so looking forward to this anointing that you're sending, that you're bringing, that you are, you know, he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain. He will come unto us. How many of your people are going to be so disappointed that they didn't fly away, but the revelation will soon come, Lord, that they weren't ready to fly away. They were not righteous enough to miss out on tribulation, the tribulation that they need in order to be perfected, in order to be crucified with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We love you. We praise you. We know that you're going to perfect the work that you started in us, that the glory of God will shine forth from your people in power and anointing. And I speak a blessing upon the people that are listening. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would put in them a desire to be what your word says and what your word promises that we are. We were crucified with Christ. Lord, I pray that that your people that are listening will cooperate with this process of crucifixion to self by denying self, by turning to you with all of their heart. And let this revival start with us. We ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this outpouring of your Spirit, which is coming, and the outpouring of, like Joel said, the former rain and the latter rain. Yes, they're both coming, because most of the church has never received the former rain, being empowered to walk in the Lord and his might. And the church hasn't received the latter rain yet, as they falsely thought back in the early 1900s. That was not the latter rain. That was the former rain. And so, Lord, we thank you that the latter rain is going to be given first to the man-child and through the man-child to the people. as they've been educated, then they'll receive an anointing upon that education to go forth and do mightily. And Lord, we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. Continue to pray and continue to cast down the works of darkness that you see around you, the faction in the church and the faction in the government, and cast these down. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the victory you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good night.